You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
You see our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm your host, Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and a happy Friday afternoon. We got a boatload of news to discuss this afternoon. Much of it breaking news that has happened between yesterday and today, and a goodly amount of it both economic and legal. Thankfully, you've got a lawyer and an economist as a host to help us all discuss all of this. I got a guest who's a former U.S. attorney. I've got the chief economist at the Center for Budget and Policy with us. Then we got a little fun to round out the afternoon with Ask Maggie and Terry Barr with what's good, local, and overlooked here in Wisconsin. And of course, it is free Ticket Friday. The Brewers coming off a great win against the Cubs yesterday. They'll be starting a homestand this afternoon against the San Francisco Giants. We've got coverage at many of our local civic media stations. Go check that out. I'll be watching the game tonight along with each and every one of you. But let's get into today's news. Early this morning, former National Security Advisor John Bolton had his home raided by the FBI. The question that every legal watcher relating to this John Bolton investigation part two, I guess, is what was the factual basis for the warrant that a judge signed off on? What were those facts as alleged in the warrant leading to a determination of probable cause by a federal judge? New facts, or are they old facts that relate to the investigation that already happened into John Bolton? We all want to know. We're going to talk to my guest today to start this show off with about that. So that's the big Bolton boatload of news. Again, that happened early this morning. Just about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours ago, transcripts from Todd Blanche's interview of Ghislaine Maxwell. Last month, I think, the time moves so fast, were released this afternoon by the Trump Justice Department. Recall again, Todd Blanche is Donald Trump's former personal criminal defense lawyer. Ghislaine Maxwell is serving a long federal prison sentence related to sex trafficking. Todd Blanche interviewed Ms. Maxwell for 2 days back in July. Shortly thereafter, she was moved, many would say, according to Bureau of Prisons policies, improperly to a minimum security facility in Texas from a low security facility in Florida. Was there a quid pro quo? Well, we've got the transcripts and we will be discussing them in detail. I, your legal eagle here, spent the last 2.5 hours trying to read through as much of it as I could, and boy, does it paint a picture. In addition, Fed Reserve Chair Jerome Powell, along with every single Federal Reserve Board member, is in Jackson Hole this weekend and starting today, along with a bunch of other central bankers. You could call it summer camp for econ geeks, and that would be a fair description. Jerome Powell indicating today that he does not believe that interest rates will remain high, indicating maybe there might be some space for interest rates to come down. We've also had earnings reports that were just published and earnings calls that went out from all of our nation's largest publicly traded corporations, including, of course, the world's largest global retailer. The upshot of the earnings call with Walmart CEO was largely twofold. One, Walmart has been trying to absorb the impact of tariffs wherever it can. They don't know that they've seen the full impact of the tariffs, but that there have been cost increases. There will be additional cost increases. And again, when this is being said by the world's largest retailer, I can guarantee you this. If the world's largest retailer can't absorb the price increases from suppliers and is now, today, passing along price increases to consumers, I guarantee you that those same supplier price increases are tanking small businesses near you. Those are the bits of breaking news today. Wow, it is quite a lot. With that, happy to bring on my special guest for this entire first hour. His name's James Santel. You know him as host of Amicus, a law review on Saturdays across the Civic Media Radio Network from 9 to 11. Welcome back, Jim.
Maggie, it's a lot. How often do we say that? It's a lot. Who knew getting up this morning that Friday would bring us all of these stories, breaking in the morning, breaking in the afternoon, and delighted to be with you as always.
Yeah, huge, huge afternoon of news. And Jim, if it's okay with you, I think front of mind, top of mind for so many people is what happened in the Tan Blanche, Ghislaine Maxwell interview. So I want to go to those transcripts. Folks, if you ever look at interview or deposition transcripts that lawyers have a court reporter at, they all basically look the same. And every single transcript has at its end an index of terms. Every word that is said in a deposition or a transcribed interview has this index. Literally every word that you say is then listed there and the pages upon which it appears. This is quite helpful because it allows you to zoom in right away on where certain terms are used. So things like Clinton and Trump, you can see exactly and immediately where those terms appear.
And how many times, right?
And exactly. How many times in total. It's very helpful. Things like massage or Mossad, if you will. So let's, Jim, if you're all right with this, let's turn immediately.
Absolutely.
So this was considered a proffer,
yes,
Jim. And can you please explain to everybody listening what the heck a proffer is?
Sure, can be used by prosecutors, investigators in many different circumstances. Typically, as here, what happened is the government sat down and said, "We're going to listen to what you have to tell us. We're going to ask you some questions, and we're going to give you what's called use immunity." Use immunity is the concept here, which means that Ms. Maxwell, the things you say to us in this setting, this setting alone, will not be used against you in a future prosecution. If you say something that implicates you and exposes you to future prosecutions, that won't be used. The exchange is you got to be honest about anything we ask. And if you lie to us, all bets are off. And that was basically the understanding. The other issue here, of course, Maggie, as you and I have chatted, is what is our deputy attorney general doing actually having this conversation? These are the kinds of things that maybe assistant U.S. attorneys, maybe litigators and maybe investigators have, but not somebody who's got a judgment responsibility down the road. Nonetheless, he went down there. He is plainly a part of this process. And now we've got the transcripts of this. The larger questions, as you have surfaced right at the top here, are what is the purpose behind this? Once again, right? There is no longer any investigation. We have one defendant who has killed himself, a second one who's been sentenced to 20 years in prison, maybe is getting some work release at some point. Who knows what her future may hold? But we know about their victims out there, and we wonder out loud what this is all intended to do. We do have a discussion. Disclosures now about what she said, and that's the reason why this is interesting as a prurient matter, but also as a law enforcement matter. If she does, in fact, describe some things we didn't know about before, that is relevant. Highly unlikely that this is going to produce a whole lot more, but we'll see as we go through these transcripts.
I have not read through all of it. I have skimmed through much of it. We will put links to the transcripts from both days in our show notes for today so you can read them. Here's one reason that I think everybody should read some goodly sections of these, Jim. And it is because what it paints a picture of is really how different the ultra wealthy are from regular people.
Yeah.
So if we can, for a moment, just setting aside the question of these crimes, one of the, just the overwhelming, like, ick factor that I got is not just the way the ultra wealthy, and I'm, again, folks, I'm not talking about you own a small business, or your parents did, and you worked hard and you built it into a medium-sized business, and you employ 100 people, and maybe you got a few million bucks, and you paid for your kids to go to college, or you bought a retirement house. I'm not talking about you. I am talking about people with screw you levels of money. Okay, the most powerful, hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, like this set of people, people connected with royal families across the globe, people who are the elite of the elites. I'm not talking about professors. I'm not talking about activists. I'm mostly not even talking about politicians, except for those who were the elite of the elites before they ran for office. The overwhelming sense that you get from this in reviewing it was a very stark reminder that they have absolutely no connection or understanding whatsoever about regular people.
Right, right.
Ghislaine Maxwell talks about her dad and this fraud investigation and her dad passing away, and they wanted her out of Britain because the tabloid press. And so she takes a job for $25,000 a year with Jeff. What did he hire her to do? Well, just things that he needed done because he's got all these properties. And eventually she starts dating him. And the questions are like, well, how were you living on 25? Right, right. And then it comes, you know, it's just this idea that these people, and she claims to not have a trust fund. Well, the technicalities of whether or not you have a trust fund or Daddy Warbucks is just paying your freight wherever you go because he is an incredibly influential billionaire type guy. This is not how normal people live. Right. It is. Jet Set doesn't even quite cover it either.
It's life in the stratosphere, right? And that's an important takeaway from all of this. I suspect, Maggie, you're going to find, the rest of the world's going to find too, that because you are so removed from the commonplace people who do the work of the world and keep things going, you're also going to find some sense of complete distraction from and separation from other people, so that you don't care about them, right? You not only don't understand how they live and work, but you also don't care about them. And I have to wonder out loud if that also produces what she and Jeff Epstein did, which is regard human beings as property and people to be used. That also a part of that stratospheric sense about the world and where you are in it.
Yeah, she was basically his personal assistant and then eventually became a sexual partner on and off again. And this was her job. And the fact that these ultra, ultra wealthy people have folks that will see to their every whim and need, and that could eventually creep into these sorts of crimes and trafficking of people. It's really, it's quite a picture. I've got some of the transcripts very briefly here. Well, I'm going to tease it. They do address President Clinton and his flights that he took with Jeff Epstein. We're going to read from that. I'm going to read a bit of the transcript. The only real meat of these 2 days that I have yet to be able to identify that discusses Donald Trump's relationship with Mr. Epstein in any detail. It is quite brief, and it is fascinating. So I will be reading to you all the portion of the Todd Blanche interview with Ghislaine Maxwell that addresses Epstein's relationship with Donald Trump and President Clinton. When we return, I'm Maggie Dawn. He's Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, where we got your breaking news and all the legal eagles you need to understand it right here. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We thought it would be helpful to read portions of this transcript. Jim, are you able to just Google for it on your end and pull it up? If you just Google DOJ Maxwell transcript, you can pull it up. I'm asking Jim to do that because I think it would be more helpful if Jim was able to read the questioning by Donald Trump's former criminal defense attorney, now Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche, while I would read the responses from Ghislaine Maxwell. It's quite fascinating. So, Jim, again, once you get that up in front of you, there is another link for you. We're going to go to page 103 and read from that. Here, there are some things that are pretty outstanding here and not in the best way. Again, I didn't see, and certainly we haven't seen any news reports yet, that there was some new bits of information. So the lack of identification of anything that was new is in of itself interesting. Of course, this sort of a proffer, this discussion, these had happened before when Ghislaine Maxwell was originally being criminally prosecuted. One of the big things that I was concerned about was whether or not Todd Blanche was, whether they were going to have a transcript, whether he was going to be in there alone with Ghislaine Maxwell. And I'm very happy to see he wasn't alone. There was an FBI agent there with him. And so, you know, again, not alone. They released the transcript. Those are good things. Jim, you're not able to pull it up on the computer in front of you?
I am just about there. I think I've got page 103 here. I've got, okay.
So we're gonna start at line 16. And if you read what Mr. Blanche has.
All right. I've got it right here. This is Todd Blanche, who is our Deputy Attorney General, former attorney for the president, who says, speaking to the witness here, do you know whether, for example, President Clinton ever received a massage?
I don't believe he did.
And the question follows, and what makes you say you don't believe he did?
Well, because I don't. So that's a good question. The time that Epstein and President Clinton spent together, the only times I believe, well, obviously they traveled. There was that, you know, the plane. They went on the plane 26 times or whatever. That would be one journey. So they spent time on the plane together, and I don't believe there was ever a massage on the plane. That would have been the only time that I think President Clinton could have ever received a massage, and he didn't because I was there.
And you mentioned that early, in the very beginning of the conversation, you mentioned President Trump in the early 90s.
Yes.
What did you observe as far as President Trump and his relationship with you or Mr. Epstein?
Well, I just want to say for my relationship with President Trump, relationship's a big word, but I just want to say that I met him, or I believe I may have, because of my father in the 90s.
Yep. Okay.
So my father liked him very much, and he was loved, really liked his wife as well, because we were both Czechoslovakian. And as far as I'm concerned, President Trump was always very cordial and very kind to me. And I just want to say that I admire his extraordinary achievement in becoming the president now, and I like him. I've always liked him. So that is the sum and substance of my entire relationship with him.
What about Mr. Epstein's relationship with him?
I don't know how they met, and I don't know how they became friends. I certainly saw them together, and I remember the few times I observed them together, but they were friendly. I mean, they seemed friendly.
Was that in social settings, or was that in private settings?
I believe I only saw them in social settings. I don't recall any private settings.
Have you ever been to Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach?
I have.
In what time period are you thinking about when you say yes?
I don't remember when the president purchased Mar-a-Lago. So from whenever it turned into the club, I went there. I loved going there.
Did you go there alone or with Mr. Epstein?
Mostly alone.
Do you know where...
And the times I went there, it was for an event, maybe once or twice.
And do you know whether Mr. Epstein ever went there?
I believe he did. But again, we were... He didn't take me with him all the time. So he would go and... Oh, right. He never... I never... Well, He did from time to time, but he would go alone. I think he would maybe go himself to the spa. I certainly did.
Did you ever observe President Trump receive a massage?
Never.
Did you ever observe, you said that you were, I mean, have you seen the, there's photographs, public photographs of Mr. Epstein and President Trump together.
Yes.
And there's photographs of, I think you're in some of the photographs.
Yes.
As well. Those all appear to be social settings.
Yes.
Do you...
Well, that's my memory. They were social settings. I don't know if Epstein's, if he had, whatever the nature of this, of the president's friendship, if you will, or however you want to define that with Epstein, I was never witnessed. I think they were friendly, like people are in social settings. I don't think they were close friends, or I certainly never witnessed the president in any of, I don't recall ever seeing him in his house, for instance. I actually never went, I never saw the president in any type of massage setting. I never witnessed the president in any appropriate setting in any way. The president was never appropriate with anybody. In the times that I was with him, he was a gentleman in all respects.
When's the last time you think you saw in person President Trump?
It's been a long time, probably not sometime in the beginning, mid-2000s maybe. It would only have been in a social setting as far as I recall.
And did you ever hear Mr. Epstein or anybody say that President Trump had done anything inappropriate with masseuses or with anybody in your world?
Absolutely never in any context. This is an extraordinary bit of back and forth. Jim and I are going to explain to you why and why it is also probably pretty not credible. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. The groundbreaking, the bomb dropping, the Maxwell transcripts are here. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel and I explain more on the other side. Stick with us. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We got bombshells a-dropping, and it's Friday, and it's time to give away some free tickets to the Brewers game. All you need to do to qualify to win 4 free tickets on the club level to the Brewers game against the Arizona Diamondbacks on Thursday, August 28th. That's, again, Thursday, August 28th. Note, this is a 1:10 start. Right now, this is a 1:10 start, Thursday, August 28th, against the Diamondbacks, is you need to text in the word that I am about to give you via the Civic Media app. The word of the day is text, as in you have to text in the word text via the Civic Media app, and you will be qualified to win 4 club-level tickets to the Brewers versus the Diamondbacks, Thursday, August 28th at 1:10. The word again is text, T-E-X-T. Folks, Jim and I are reviewing the news of the afternoon, this Friday afternoon, which is the release of the Todd Blanche, current Deputy Attorney General, former Donald Trump criminal defense attorney, his interview with convicted child sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell. That interview occurred over 2 days back in July. Just to summarize, I found the portions that I think are the only significant portions where Blanche asks Ghislaine Maxwell about Epstein's relationship with Donald Trump. And it is quite limited. Here's the other notable thing about this, and that is that it comes nearly instantaneously. Like there is, I think, over 600, 500 something plus pages of these transcripts. He gets to Donald Trump by page 104. So it is, if you want it, let's just call it 550 total pages. He's getting there real early. It is right away, because the first kind of stuff you do in these interviews or depositions is you identify the parties and where you are. So there's a bunch of convo and transcript about that. So Todd Blanche gets down to the real business of the interview with Ghislaine Maxwell right away. And the first thing that she says and I read this to you all, was she basically gushes. Trump is always very cordial and very kind. And it's.
I admire him a lot.
His extraordinary achievement in becoming president. And I like him. I've always liked him. So that's the sum and substance of my entire. So she gushes. And then immediately we move to complete and total exoneration of President Trump from anything. And while Ghislaine Maxwell also, and we read it in the last segment, appears to have completely exonerated former President Bill Clinton. The difference is Bill Clinton can't do anything to help Ghislaine Maxwell. Donald Trump can do everything to help Ghislaine Maxwell. He can pardon her. So I just want to remind you, here's some of what Jim and I read back and forth. Jim playing the role of Todd Blanche, the questioner, reading direct. If it sounds awkward, it's because we are trying to read the transcript literally word for word. We're not fixing any of the awkwardness. Jim is going to read Blanche's part. I'm reading Ghislaine Maxwell's part. Just want to highlight a couple of things from the section that we read. There is no way that you can read this and not think that Maxwell is basically knows what her job is in this interview.
She knows what her goals are.
And every substantive question that could potentially be disproven, you will see her hedge it with I don't recall or to the best of my recollection, or it's just vague beyond any substantive heft here. Todd Blanche asks her, what about Mr. Epstein's relationship? I don't know how they became friends. Maybe they are friends, but they seemed friendly. I don't really know. I don't know how they met. They were social settings. I don't recall any private meetings.
It's
like
been a long time. In the beginning. Who knows, right?
And then when it gets into the massages, did you ever observe President Trump receive a massage? Never. She goes on, that's my memory. It was just these social settings. I don't know if whatever the nature of their friendship, she hedges around it. I never witnessed that. I don't know how you define it. They seemed like very friendly people in social settings. I don't think they were close friends, or I certainly never witnessed it. The president and any of the, I don't ever recall seeing him in his house. And it's just so hedged. I actually never saw the president in any type of massage setting. I never witnessed the president in any inappropriate setting in any way. The president was never inappropriate with anybody. In the times I was with him, he was a gentleman in all respect.
From time immemorial.
It is a complete exoneration. This, of course, from the guy that grabs him by the you-know-whats, kisses women, barges into women's dressing rooms. Of course, he was never appropriate with the convicted child sex trafficker. Never inappropriate with any massage. The man is inappropriate about his daughters, for crying out now. Okay, we're going to get back to the transcript because this is the juicy part. We're picking up where we left off. Todd Blanche had just asked her, did you ever hear Mr. Epstein or anybody say that President Trump had done anything inappropriate with masseuses or with anybody in your world, Ghislaine Maxwell? Absolutely never in any context.
And this is our deputy attorney general who's following up on that response. He says this, do you know whether masseuses from Mar-a-Lago's spa ended up giving private massages to Mr. Epstein? I'm not asking for what you may have read, but from your personal knowledge, do you know whether that's true?
I don't recall. Is it possible? Yes, but I don't remember. I don't remember that. So I don't recall that, but it's possible.
Do you have a recollection of you ever recruiting a masseuse from Mar-a-Lago spa to go give a private massage to Mr. Epstein?
I've never recruited a masseuse from Mar-a-Lago for that. As far as I remember, I can't ever recollect doing that.
And then Todd Blanche looks at his watch, presumably, and says, we're going to take a break here. And everybody agrees to that. Yeah.
Yeah. And Jim and I are going to take a break there, too. So if you go back again, the links to these transcripts will be in our show notes for today. The action starts at page 103 of day one, and it goes to page, let's see here, where did we just leave off?
Just about 108 or so into 109 a little bit, but 108 or so. Yeah.
Yes, 108 to 109. So it's just six pages, 103 to 109. You read that and tell me that that woman has answered anything of value about the relationship between Donald Trump and Epstein. It's basically like, well, I didn't ever see him commit sexual assault. That's as if she would witness it.
Right, right.
And again, Donald Trump can do a lot for Ghislaine Maxwell. She knows that, and her lawyer knows that. The only hiccup is, of course, if you lie in the course of the deposition or this interview, which every single attorney in the world knows, as long as you say, to the best of my recollection, maybe it happened, but sitting here today, I don't remember. And that is all Ghislaine Maxwell right. does throughout this entire interview when it comes to Donald Trump. It's a bunch of vague denials, a bunch of vague endorsements. And when it comes to the specifics, it is all hedged by, well, sitting here today, I can't recall right. specifically. I don't think I saw any of that.
Right.
Is that a fair interpretation,
absolutely,
Jim? I mean, you
Maggie.
Read these for
and
decades.
As I read through this with you the first time, I'm stricken by that, but I'm also stricken by something else. We sometimes talk about the big lie in litigation, right? If somebody comes in and says, never happened, never, ever, ever, ever happened, and a complete lie about the past, how much more compelling this transcript would have been if she had said, you know what? There was one time. When there was a, again, I'm just making this up now, of course, there was one time where there was a conversation that left me unsettled, or I saw somebody in this situation give you something that reflects your actual recollection, and it makes you so much more credible to give up something a little because it suggests that you are, in fact, recollecting properly.
Trying to tell the
exactly,
truth, and it's not
right,
just
right?
a snow job.
And
yeah.
I had a conversation, or in fact, I was there when they met the first time, or, you know, there were some of the young women I was with, unfortunately, we're in a room with it. Give them something. This is an absolute, complete, big lie, and it's not credible because there's no give at all about someone who, again, had this intimate relationship and with Epstein. But again, lest we forget, she herself engaged, and we haven't gotten to that yet, but she herself engaged in sexual assault with respect to these young women. She was not only coordinating what was happening, she is convicted for just that. This is not a credible representation about her involvement with Epstein and with all this activity.
And here is the thing. This is such a complete and utter BS interview by Todd
yes.
Blanche.
Yeah.
If this was being done by a legit prosecutor, you would have all of the photos
yes.
with Epstein, Trump, and Maxwell in hand. You'd have pictures of Maxwell with Melania in hand, with Marla Maples when it goes back to the 90s, and Ivana, because Ivana was the Czechoslovakian
right.
that was
right.
referenced in the transcript
right.
I read. That's who they liked.
Right.
That's who knew or maybe knew Maxwell's father. You would have all of that in front of you, and you'd say,
I'm showing
where was
what's
this
marked
photo
as
taken?
Exhibit one.
Yes.
Tell me when this happened. Tell me what this is about. You indicated there was no conversation here. There plainly had to be something that's being said in the course of this photograph being taken. Tell me about that. Or go back to the trial itself. There were witnesses during the course of the trial who described this. Let's go back and talk about those instances. He is plainly showing up. Maybe completely unprepared, I don't know, but not asking those piercing questions that any good prosecutor would ask.
And there's a long discussion about the birthday book that's basically, she says, we don't need to read it. I don't have any specific record. It's all a bunch of, I have no specific recollection about how Donald Trump's Sharpie sketch of a naked woman and his allusion to, we'll keep these secret things secret. I have no idea how that got in the book. That's in there. That's fascinating. There's a whole another long discussion about the client list. That starts on page 173. It goes on. Basically, what does she say again? Well, I had some names. Somebody else had some names. There were millions of pages of documents in my trial. I don't know. I saw some of them. I don't know. But I don't think there's a list. There may not be a list. Or this guy put together. It's nothing. It is so unhelpful as to be shocking. That's at pages 173 to about 178. They talk about the birthday book on page 178, and they eventually get around to talking about Epstein's alleged connections to Mossad, but that is about a page and a half. But then what's really important is you actually have to know that Jeffrey Epstein was a good friend of the former prime minister of Israel. a guy by the name of Ehud Barak. And so you have to know that there was this relationship. And she's careful. I just want to point this out. Todd Blanche asks a question about Epstein being paid by foreign intelligence agencies. Response, no, I don't think so, from Maxwell. Well, that's a different question entirely from, did Epstein ever provide any information, whether paid or compensated or in any leverage position, any information at all to any foreign intelligence agencies, as far as you can recollect, sitting now today? Do you have any knowledge of Epstein? Like, there,
right.
Jim
there's
and
no,
I...
There's no good follow-up here, right? Nothing.
No, it is every lawyer who's ever done a deposition will read this and their heads will explode,
right?
Because there's no follow-up anywhere to nail the witness down to anything that could possibly threaten her with impeachment. In other words, and by impeachment, I mean impeaching the witness because she lied and she could now be prosecuted for perjury. This is worthless. Although I will say that the exoneration of President Clinton probably isn't, because she has nothing to gain from President Clinton exonerating him. No. Folks, we're going
to
talk about the boatload of Bolton information coming in. We had an FBI raid. We'll discuss why that is an abomination. We'll take your calls, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. On the other side with Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, and me on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Big bomb dropped this afternoon. The Department of Justice released the transcripts of former criminal defense attorney for Donald Trump, Todd Blanche's, interview with convicted sex trafficker Ghislaine Maxwell. 2 days he spent with this woman back in July. Now, the context here is incredibly important. Of course, Todd Blanche, now the Deputy Attorney General, responsible for the entirety of the operations of the Department of Justice on a day-to-day basis. That's what the Deputy AG does. He was also Donald Trump's criminal defense attorney in his New York criminal trial and other matters. Now, here's what. At the time that Todd Blanche went to go talk with Ghislaine Maxwell, the outrage from the right, especially Donald Trump's base, about Donald Trump and Pam Bondi and Kash Patel all telling everybody there's nothing more to see here in relation to the Epstein files, had set off one of the biggest political furies in Donald Trump's political career, and it wasn't going anywhere. He tried telling people to move on, and they didn't. Not just any people, his base. This was a core plank back in 2016, and the idea of these sorts of deep state conspiracies and the elites in some sort of cabal has been a core tenet of Donald Trump's entire political ascendancy and his entire time as president. That's the context here. All of the chips were on the table. Elon Musk and others had accused Donald Trump at this time of being, quote, in the Epstein files. So what were the stakes in Todd Blanche's meeting with Ghislaine Maxwell? It was for all of the marbles, all of them. And so what did Todd Blanche do in 2 days with Ghislaine Maxwell? Now, I haven't read the entire transcript, but I've read the meatier parts of it. And I think over the weekend, by Monday, what you'll be hearing from lawyers, former U.S. attorneys, former frontline federal prosecutors, is that Todd Blanche's interview of Ghislaine Maxwell is unquestionably, objectively a joke. He was underprepared, failed to follow up. The questions were poorly constructed. It was as if he had zero familiarity at all with the case. And he would have known that he was unprepared. There are only two options here. Either Todd Blanche is a complete and total idiot, utterly unaware of his status as an idiot, or it didn't matter. And the vagaries and the complete ineffectiveness of this entire interview was actually kind of the point.
Yes, yeah.
To allow her to say nothing, and for Todd Blanche to let her get away with it.
And to know that most people reading this or even hearing us today will say, well, okay, nothing there, nothing to pursue there at all. And he comes back and he reports to his boss, his former client, with whom, by the way, he continues to have an attorney-client relationship even to this day. Which is insane, is absolutely inappropriate. But comes back and says, well, yep, she said, doesn't know a lot, but as far as she saw, nothing to see here. And maybe those 2 days for the president, well spent, but this is not an investigative pursuit that produced anything of real quality or meaning for America, for this investigation,
everybody knew that the whole point, my point in laying out the context here is that this is intentional. The fact that the interview produced a vague yet completely non-specific exoneration, which could not subject Ghislaine Maxwell to a perjury charge, was the point. There's nothing here to hold her or anyone else accountable for any damn thing. And let's just recall what happened to the lawyer that actually repped Jeff Epstein and got his super great plea deal when Acosta was the former U.S. attorney down there. Oh, yeah, Trump hired that dude to be his own lawyer. What happened to Acosta, the federal prosecutor, the U.S. attorney who gave Epstein his first sweetheart deal in the Southern District of Florida? Yeah, Trump made him his, I think it was Department of Agriculture. I can't remember, Commerce
right.
or something.
Cabinet level
Donald Trump
position.
Put him on his cabinet, right?
Yep.
And then one of the frontline prosecutors who could have actually helped Todd Blanche conduct this interview and get somewhere with it. Yeah, Donald Trump had Pam Bondi fire her butt a couple of weeks ago. Why? Because her last name was Comey. And let's be clear, Donald Trump was in charge of the Bureau of Prisons when Jeffrey Epstein died. So anyways, I put a marker down. Lawyers that know how to litigate will read this transcript and they're going to say two things. Todd Blanche is the worst trial lawyer we've ever met or ever seen in the most important matter of his life. Or if we assume for a minute that Todd Blanche might not be a complete and total idiot, then the ineffectiveness of this interview was intentional.
It is stunning. It is shocking, candidly, as you go through the back and forth here. And again, the failure, and it's revealed by the failure to pursue any of this. And as you said before, to come in there with documents, some information to confront this witness with what the reality is, none of that. None of that at all. Shocking. Just shocking.
Dick from Madison, say hello to Jim. What you got for us?
Dick, hi.
Well, real quick, too, the other thing that she alluded to that was crazier than hell is this stuff about Epstein, whether he committed suicide or not.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, pretty bizarre. But this thing was nothing more than a sham audition to an audience of one, and we know who we're speaking to get a pardon.
That's exactly what it was, Dick. You nailed that right on the head. I can't believe the first hour is gone. She gives a mealy-mouthed exoneration of Trump, but fans the flames of the conspiracy. Yeah, I don't think Jeffrey was actually killed himself.
We'll read more over the weekend, Maggie. Right? We'll come
sure
back. If we
will.
Missed something, which I suspect we didn't, we'll talk more about it next week. Great to be with you as always.
We're going to have Benga Angelore, Chief Economist at the Center for Budget and Policy, with us next. Don't miss it. We're going to discuss how tariffs will be certainly terrorizing your family soon, courtesy of Donald Trump.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.